A very warm welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Women's Wisdom Through Ages, a podcast where we celebrate success stories of some inspiring women across various industries and ages. Now, if you have been following our previous episodes, you know that we are still in conversation with our very own special guest, Catherine Ellis. And if this is your first episode ever, then let me give you a very quick recap. Women's Wisdom Through Ages is a brainchild of Catherine Ellis, who is our special guest today. Usually, she is the host of the show. But for this special episode, I am the host of the show. I'm Ishani Nigam. And we are interviewing Catherine Ellis. In the previous episode, we got to know a lot about her childhood, her fears, her struggles, her first job, and a lot about her personal and professional life. If you're interested, and I would recommend that you go and check out that video or podcast as well. Now, continuing further, today we will be discussing more about her venture, the challenges that she faced during her venture, and about her visions. So let's get started. Now that we know a lot about your background, a bit about your professional background, and we have some great learnings from there, let's move on to the other chapter of your life, which is about your entrepreneurial venture. So you started your own coaching and consulting services named Imagineering to a Better World, and also this wonderful podcast. So to begin with, tell us, why did you set up these ventures?
Okay. So I've been tutoring and training and consulting and everything for many, many years. And even going back, like I said, even in my early, even in my mid-20s, I used to do business consulting. And then, and the coaching, I suppose, just came naturally from tutoring and teaching and just when I had the opportunity, and even pastoral care services, different things like that. But going back to 2002, I was living in East Timor and I was doing a couple of different things. I was teaching English to people from United Nations agencies, the government over there. And this was 2002, 2003. So it was just not long after they had become independent. And I was also having, I'm doing business consulting as well. And yeah, and some of it was language based, some of it was not. And, but I'd always understood that you needed a vision. Like without a vision, people perish. So we need to know where we're going. Otherwise we're like all over the place. And then, you know, yeah, I think of like a little boat, you know, in a big pond or in the ocean. It just gets buffeted around it everywhere unless you know where you're going. And then you need a plan to get there. And but most people, I think, get taken off course either by character. Their yes doesn't mean yes. They're not able to use their willpower or their emotions. You know, most people don't understand that you can control your emotions, but you can actually get to a stage where you can feel the particular emotions to the extent you want to feel it when you want to feel it. Whereas a lot of people think that that's, you know, that you're at the mercy of your emotions. Well, no, you can learn not to be. So that's one of the things that I do teach people is how to do that. And then also your finances also, you know, quite often get taken off with your finances. When I started Imagineering to a Better World, that was in 2013. But I would say a lot of the seeds were planted back in 2002, 2003 when I was in East Timor and that part of the journey. And so you have, so the four steps that when I very first started Imagineering for a Better World were imagine, so you have a vision, solution, so you have a plan on the way to get there, and then commit, and then partner. Because quite often we do these two, but if we're not prepared to commit and take responsibility and do our part, we're not going to get anywhere. It's like going on a diet and then going off and having chips or whatever the same day. Yes, yes. So, and then being accountable, so having a partner. So I would say my life really started to change, even probably before and why I decided to go to East Timor. And then with Imagineering, that was started, like I said, in 2013. and backing up just before that. And I know, I think it, you mentioned it, that you had actually read this on my website, that there was things happening in my life, and there was like patterns kept repeating. And one of them was that, or one of the specific reasons of why I moved back to Perth was that I was living in the Goldfields region in Western Australia. And I had a lovely home, and I was, you know, doing up my home. I had a job that I absolutely loved. But one of my push factors to leave was that these guys across the road, it used to be a couple with a young baby, but then they broke up, and it was during the boom times with the mining, and the guys ended up being, well, they split up, and then the household ended up turning into this ice, I'll just call it the ice freak house, because everybody would be on ice. And can you imagine, it was just so imposing, so loud. We'd have the police there so often and everything. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what can I do? I've bought this home. I don't want to be stuck in this situation. And especially because, you know, as a single woman living there, and I had all these guys, you know, opposite. And one of my friends said, oh, do you know that if you sold your house now, you'd probably make some money? And I thought, oh, well, I hadn't really thought about that. I was planning to live here for quite a few years, but I didn't want to have that situation. And then I looked into it, and it ended up being because I had been paying off money extra off my mortgage. I had been renovating up to 15 hours a week. So I'd done a lot of painting. I'd redone the gardens and lots of different things. And so I did. So I did sell my house, and I did move. And then that started me off, you know, on that journey. So, but the difference was in 2013, it was like over two different nights I had, they were almost like dreams, that it was like everything that I'd been doing for years was like I had new language for it. And that's when I got Imagineering to a Better World and the Imagine Solution Commit Partner. And so when I did start that, it was just started as a stall at a festival in the middle of the city of Perth. And it was just inviting people over and just saying, hey, if you think of a better world, how would, you know, what does it look like to you? And creating a banner. And then we would get people to write it down on a piece of paper, and just getting them to see, okay, if they have a vision and then they commit to a solution and then have a partner to hold them accountable, that they can change their world. So that's sort of a bit of how it came about in a long-winded way.
That's really lovely, and I can see how your you know, the life experiences, the ups and downs, and maybe the need to do something for others, where it has come from. But Catherine, thank you for sharing your journey, like how the reason you started the services. And I'm sure people who are looking out for help, they can definitely come to you, and they're in very good hands. I can definitely say that. The one quality I really, really like about Catherine is that she is very empathetic. Like, she is always smiling. And I was just going to one of your podcasts earlier, and that's what you mentioned, that one of the four reasons or the qualities of a coach is smiling. You always have a smiling face. So that's really nice. That kind of brings me to my other question, which is like, yes, you have a dream and you want to start something now, but the first step is so daunting, and it's extremely difficult. You know, you build up stories in your head. How will I do this? How will I do that? I don't have this resource. I don't have that. I don't have this skill at all. So people go through all these thoughts in their head. And this is one of my favorite questions, because I wanted to know, so what are the challenges that you face at the very beginning of starting this venture? And did you succeed at the first go?
Okay. So coming back to the beginning of how you get started, it's always got to be about your vision. And I found it by doing even that very first day in that festival setting with that little stall. And I mean, it was fabulous. I even had a friend of mine who was a professional who ran his own television studio. He actually came and he was my cameraman and different things. So it was amazing. And but if you have the vision, and then, like I said, those four steps. But what I found from interviewing people that day is that people have blockages. sometimes they are blocked at the vision, sometimes they are blocked at solutions, sometimes at the commit, sometimes at the partner. And that was like revolutionary to me. It was like, wow, and how important this is. And so being able to have the vision and then write it down, because if you write it down, you make it plain at the harvest time, it'll happen, or at the appropriate time, it will happen. So writing it down was one of them. And I should have written down, because there was different parts to your question then. Normally I've got a pen in my hand and I'm writing, but I didn't. So absolutely. So to have the vision first, and it must be positive, because part of what I find is a lot of people say, oh, I'm never going to smoke, or I'm never going to be in a domestic violence relationship or whatever. But if you focus on the negative, our mind doesn't work in negatives. So it has to be positive. And then obviously going through having your plan. And I would say, if you're not familiar with how to do that, or you haven't got that in your, and sometimes it's good to do it outside of your social circle as well, or outside your family circle, which, because, you know, that can have another whole level of complications sometimes. And I'm sorry, I've missed one of the parts of your questions. What was the last part of your question? You talked about how do you do it.
Yeah, so no, basically I wanted to know that once you set up, once you start planning things for the very first time, you are always in doubt. Did you succeed in your first goal? I wanted to know that.
Okay, so two parts to that answer. The first part is that it seemed to be going fabulous, that I'd written a book at the at a similar time, that it had been as a result of 15 years of teaching about financial intelligence and emotional intelligence and things, and that had been published and that had been picked up to go national. So it was available in bookstores nationally and different things. I was also writing music, and that was going ahead. And there was lots and lots that was wonderful going ahead. But I didn't have the right people around me. And there were so many lessons that I had to learn. And so, and just, yeah, really different. And especially when you're dealing with, so it could be students, it could be, you know, the volunteers, or it could be, you know, in different circles of people, whether it be a faith-based or something, compared to working with professionals. So my background was pretty much always working with professionals. But then when you're working with people who are so excited and you want to go through and do things, but then you want to turn it into something professional, it changes again. And so, for example, if you're creating a product, so whether it be a book, a song, you have to have the contract there, because it's intellectual property. It's all accountable by law. If you're going to publish a book or even get a book distributed, you need to own the copyright. And sometimes people didn't want to sign contracts. So, oh my gosh, that was another whole level of things that you'd work through when you think everything was okay. But then if people didn't see a need for it or something. So there was just so many things that I learned. So, and again, I had like the bullying theme came through again. I was even being cyberbullied, which made me so... So I had to really learn how to not be, how do you have a business but not have a public face? Because if you can't be on social media, or, you know, there was different things happening which were just not good. And I do share bits and pieces of those stories, even on different articles that I write about in Societal Transformation on the Imagineering to a Better World website. And one of them was being stalked. And it's not like most of my life has been great going along, and I've, you know, had lots of wonderful things happen. But then every now and then it might be a couple of months, or it might be, you know, just little bits and pieces. But then those pieces impact you, even can be for years, that they can impact you. And so I was at a stage where I had another book that was ready for publication, but then for different reasons, I wasn't able to publish it, which meant my whole business plan of where that was going, and I had all these pre-sale or pre-order sales you know, before the book was published. I had, you know, speaking engagements signed up, but then I had to cancel everything. And then, it was good in a way that I had to learn that I couldn't just keep powering through, because my natural personality is probably a double positive, like a double optimist, and then, and being action. So I could very easily change my life in 2 weeks and go and live in another country. Like, that to me is no problem. But then at different times, especially when I went through that where I couldn't continue with my business, but then I wasn't picking up the teaching work, even though I had excellent references and everything. So I went through a period of unemployment. And even though I've always aimed to have, for example, 3 to 6 months worth of money or savings in the bank, at different times that had even, you know, not been available, sometimes because I'd, you know, invested that into the business or different things. So absolutely, success was not straight off. However, part of what I did write in that book on the financial and emotional intelligences, which is called Prosper As Your Soul Prospers, was looking at the definition of success or prosperity, which I see both of them as interchangeable. So to me, prosperity or success is love, peace, joy, hope for the future, close family, loyal friends, vibrant health, and being financially free to do what you want to do, whether it's paid or voluntary. And when I say vibrant health, it doesn't have to mean that you're 100% perfectly healthy, but the health that you do have, you are vibrant in. So, for example, I know people, even, you know, someone in a wheelchair who has an amazing life. Or, you know, that you can have different challenges, but you make the most of what you have. You may not have all perfect family relationships, but the family relationships that you do have are really strong and really close, and you know, and maybe there's no angst or, you know, whatever with the other ones, as an example. So you're making the most of, you're doing your best to live your best and love other people. Does that make sense? So the times that and you were talking before about feeling inferior or people trying to make you feel inferior, because sometimes if you're going ahead and you're seeming to be getting successful, sometimes people don't like it. Other people don't like it. Like, I've had people, like, how did you get that published, or why would they listen to you? Or I've had some really negative comments, and sometimes people just blurt it out, and I was just shocked. Especially if they were above me, either in a workplace or in another, you know, institutional type setting. And so if I looked at their perception of success, like, by this age, I should be married, I should have this many children, I should be having this many houses or this much income or from that. But if I got back to my the way that I define success or prosperity, so I'll just say it again, love, peace, joy, hope for the future, vibrant health, loyal friends, close family, and financial freedom, which is to me being free to do what you love, whether it's paid or unpaid. So as long as you look at it like that and you think, okay, well, at the moment I might be a 7 out of 10 in that area, but I'm actually doing really good in this area, maybe I'll be about 8.5 out of 10. And so when you look at that side of life, there's always blessings, but there's always room for improvement. So, yeah.
Wow, that was really, really interesting, because I think you've covered the answer to the next two questions that I had. You face number of challenges, and I'm not quite surprised, because when someone is chasing their dreams, or when someone is actually starting something big, or even taking a small step, you do face a number of challenges. One very important takeaway that I can pick from what you just mentioned is writing down your goals or whatever you want to achieve really, really makes a difference, because that is something I did recently. I have been thinking of doing few things from past few months, but I never really wrote it out because I never do that. But I was like, let me just write it once. So I wrote it and I'm actually following it. So that is very, very impactful. So if you're listening to this or you're watching to this, if you have something that you really want to start and you really want to do, the simplest step would be to just write it down to yourself, and then things will flow slowly.
Yeah.
So I think my next question was that how did you face those challenges? I think in a very nice and lovely way, you have explained it in your book, Prosper As Your Soul Prospers. And if how I got to know about is through your LinkedIn video that you have just put it up. So if you're listening to this, you can go and check out Catherine's LinkedIn account where she has put up a very nice brief video about this book where you can get to know what all is there in a book. Just moving a bit forward, like as we have women through different ages listening to our podcast today and going to the video, if they're at a certain stage in life, they have actually, you know, built their own business venture, or they have already made their professional life, but then something happened and due to that they had to leave it and they had to start afresh, like a second inning. Or maybe some women got the chance to start it later in their life, their own career. So are you able to draw any instances from your life or from the women around you?
Okay. First of all, so like redefine success, like how I said, like with a success or prosperity. The second one is don't listen to the naysayers. Quite often it could even be those closest to you that say, oh, you've been going for so long, just go and get another job or just forget about it or whatever. Don't listen to them. If you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing, just keep going towards that. And I just want to spend a little bit of time on that, that you not only write it down, but you also build your skills in that area. So, for example, even though, you know, I used to get usually A's for English, but then for me it was really interesting going back and teaching English again, especially recently. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to be learning too. So if I was looking at, say, for example, public speaking, I would have the students looking at the World Toastmasters speeches. Because if you're going to do something, you may as well look at the top success, you know, in the world and just, you know, learn from the best. And but so developing your own skills. And this is part of the wonderful interview I did yesterday with Violet Langan. And she was saying, you know, that her specialty was dealing with youth. But then for her to go back and do the formal study. So absolutely do the formal study and keep going. And I mentioned this a couple of times, surround yourself with encouragers. Because we can always have critics, and inside we can always have the biggest inner critic. You know, I wish I had have done this, or I, you know, like even for me yesterday, looking at the, you know, listening to the interview again, it's like, oh, I spoke too fast. I was too busy before the interview to just stop and center myself and just calm my breathing and just slow down. You know, they're just basic things that I teach other people, but I hadn't taken on. So it was just such a pleasure to interview someone like Violet, who she just has such a natural calm about her and is so positive anyway. And then I, as I listened, it was like, okay, well, my speech did slow down, but we just need to remember, you know, those things. And also when you do find that, because you'll find sometimes in life, you'll find people who are for what you are for, and that is wonderful. So especially with something like Imagineering to a Better World, the people that get it, they tend to hang around and help or want to be involved. And there's numerous people who advise on the projects and even for the internship position, like I was just blown away. Like there was 59 applications the first round and then 13 applications for the next round and then four for the next round. And then we were just so blessed that Ishani got it. So, and we're so happy with that. But aside from the people who are for what you are for, you want to have people in your life that are for you regardless. And that is one of the hardest things that you can get in your life. And I would say that I've only just really come into a deeper understanding of that even in the last 5 years. Because even though, yes, I know I've got people in my life that love me, but as in encouragers and supporting what I'm doing, that's been really difficult because I have had the difficult journey going through. And like you mentioned, Ishani, that, you know, I have had to start again. Like at different times, it's been so extreme, like having to stop everything back to where I was, say, 5 years ago or 4.5 years ago, that I ended up going back to teaching. And because I went back to teaching, I was back to doing, you know, 60 plus hours a week just with the teaching. And then you don't have the energy or the time to be able to expend on doing all of this stuff with Imagineering. So then it was like 2 years I did not much at all. I did a little bit of blogging. But then it was wonderful from those students that they, I felt that especially some of them had encouraged me to get back into it. And even though it was great to do the teaching, it was even better to come back in to the doing again. And I do continue to teach. So, and that's part of, you know, I think especially as a single woman, like, I'm not married yet, that you, if you don't have the amount of income that you desire, and for me, Ishani would probably know that a lot of what I do, I input back into the business because I believe in what I'm doing. And over the years, the people that I have helped, I know the difference that it's made in their lives. So yeah. I just know that that will come back at one stage. But at the moment, I am still teaching. And so, but when you do find those who are for you, that you have to cherish and protect those relationships, because at different times I didn't know enough, to be the best type of leader for leading a team to be able to protect those people that I was had that authority over. And I know that sounds weird using the word authority, but sometimes you do have to, it's like you're protecting, it's almost like a mother with children or something. You have to protect that.
Sorry, I was just listening to you and I was kind of, it took me back to my life, by my incidences, like I could very well resonate with that. And whoever is listening to us today, and if you're like in the phase, like if it's like second innings of your life, or even if you're at a very early stage, and if you feel that you have lost that big opportunity, or you started off and now it's not going well, a very important point that Catherine made today is that if you want to come back, if you want to make a comeback, remember that you have not lost the skills that you have. You have probably lost the confidence, I guess. And that's what happened with me as well. Mm-hmm. And this is how Catherine started off as being a professor, because maybe that is what made her feel good and that is what made her regain her confidence in that field. Or maybe whatever the reason that Catherine started off as a professor. For me,
Not professor. I'm not sure. not professor. There's probably a different word to use.
Okay.
Teacher. Not professor.
Okay, this is what we call cultural differences. So back home, yeah. I'm from India and we call each teacher professor. So teacher.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
wow. So she started with as a teacher. And I, when I was in a very low phase of my life and when I wanted to restart, I went back to my dancing school. That's where I begin, because I love dancing. That's what gives me confidence in myself. So the point is that we're trying to tell you that if you're in that phase where you're not feeling well, you're feeling low and you want to start back again, you have all the skills. You just need to gain your confidence. So do something small or little that helps you gain your confidence. Could be baking, could be just going on a holiday, traveling, something, anything that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Today we talked a lot in great depth, and I think we gained so much from Catherine's personal and professional experiences so far. Before we wrap up today now, Catherine, is there any top three tips that you would like to give, share with our listeners and people who are watching us today to maintain the success? Because we have seen it is not easy.
Okay. Well, I did just give the three about redefining success, don't listen to the naysayers, and keep going, and surround yourself with encouragers. But also I would say just spend the time. So say, for example, if I think about if I'm just spending time imagineering, just go outside or wherever it is that's special for you. Like I love going to places that are natural and especially that are water-based. So it could be an ocean, could be a river, could even be a duck pond. And just spend quiet time, or sometimes it might be listening to music. They're all different ways, but just, and even like a look at it with children. Children can have so many toys. But really, they may just love a box or a broom. because you want to be just getting your imagination going. And when your imagination, so say if I'm doing it with a group of people, I might say, you know, sometimes if you say, think about something you would love to do if there's no limits, but people tend to get stuck with that. So I say, okay, well, if you won $10 million, what would you do? So you just try and give them a bit of a picture about what would they do. And that's something that I've challenged myself with all the way through my life. And like I've mentioned, I've had some faulty thinking around that, whereas I've usually worked full time while I've followed something full time, which is not sustainable, and it does affect your health, especially mental health. Like you can get really tired and things. So spend the time to, I call it imagineer. So when you imagineer, you have the vision, and then you are thinking, okay, well, practically, how might that work? And sometimes you will need someone like me or another coach or something that can help you with that. And it doesn't matter how big it is. So I believe that we're all children of God. And if we have a vision, it's going to be so big outside of ourselves that there's a purpose attached to it, because it's, to have hope, you need to be, things need to be anchored, you know, to your purpose. So you mentioned that you love dancing. I love singing. You know, there's different things. And then I write. And if I'm not writing or speaking or singing or expressing myself in some way, it's like it's, you know, becoming very constricted. So, yeah, just do what makes your heart sing, or do what makes your body dance, so, or whatever. So that's absolutely one of them. And just be kind to yourself, because we can always be our own worst critic, which is not helpful. And so, you know, there's a saying, treat others as you would have them treat you. But sometimes people don't have a very good self-concept. So I would actually rephrase that in a little bit of a different way and say, love yourself as you would want to be loved by others. So it's just reframing it a little bit. And what would the last one be? Just, I would say, again, surround yourself with by having encouragers. Like I'm really fortunate. I do have a few people that are advisors on the Imagineering for a Better World project. Over the time, I've even had hundreds of volunteers with different things over the years. It is such a pleasure to have Ishani, because she gets excited, and then that infuses extra excitement into me, which is wonderful, because I have been doing this in some aspects of it, you know, for 7 years, 14 years, 20 plus years. So just to get that fresh look back in. So yeah, that's probably it.
Thank you for having me on board. With that, three great tips, I would also like you to maybe talk about a little bit about the book that you've recently written. The reason I'm saying this, because I have gone through the book and it is so entertaining, yet it has a very, very important and powerful message. And I would like you to maybe speak a bit about that.
Okay, so that book is called The Man Who Came Back, and it's a graphic novel. So even though I write, I don't, as I get older, I don't want to have too many words. I just like to keep things simple, especially as you're getting busier, keep things simple. I love pictures. I love learning, like by YouTube. Even though I have, you know, got different degrees and different things, I just want to keep it simple. So I love the fact that it's a graphic novel, because then it's more like reading a comic, as an example. And that one is about the difference between perceived or Instagram success versus real success. And I don't go into the definition or anything like that. The main character, it starts off, he's a formerly poor Chinese farm boy who grows up and travels the world and seems to be having the perfect life. And then when he comes back, things are not all as they seem, and people have questions. And he sort of just seems to not have a care in the world, but he's not working and lots of different things. I don't want to give away too much. But then he ends up being mentored by a kung fu teacher, and who sees this young man trying to teach him, trying to teach himself how to do kung fu. And part of it is that he never had a father. And so this kung fu teacher comes along, mentors him, gets very frustrated with him. And then, so it's basically about this young man's journey. And also in the book, a big part of it is his family, especially his mum and his sister. So, yeah, so it was, it's a timeless theme of overcoming obstacles to become the person you are destined to be, to learn what real success is, and to overcome your greatest fear. And I wrote it some years back, and I've actually used that story with hundreds of people in different settings, but especially in teaching, for example, not only high school or older high school, but also young adults. And I usually stop before we get to the end, and I've asked them, okay, what do you think he did? You know, what was his greatest fear? What was this? And what did that look like? And what was the next step? And that has been fascinating for me to see. And just, I think it's becoming even more relevant. And yeah, so that's called The Man Who Came Back, graphic novel.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for sharing that with us, with everyone who's listening to us today and watching. This book and the conversation that we had today with you is sort of a proof that, you know, you practice what you preach. So thank you for that. And thank you so much from behalf of everyone listening to us today, to you, for being a guest as opposed to being a host today and taking us through your journey. And just before we end, would you like to leave us with some words of wisdom or your favorite quote that you want your listeners to maybe think upon or ponder upon?
Okay. I would say, just remember that we can change the world one person at a time, one decision at a time, one day at a time. And thank you, Ashani. You've been a fabulous host. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We don't want to ever take your time for granted. We appreciate you listening to us, and we hope that you've got something out of it. If you like it, please share, because we want to really be making the world a better place, and that starts with each of us making our